Vincent gets him out now, and here he comes. Denon Kingley gets up the rail. Golden 60. They roar for their hometown hero. He's a length clear over Salios, running on Mother Earth. It's Golden 60. The locals can't beat him. The internationals can't beat him. This is his house. Fortress Golden 60.
Moves up and takes the lead, but Mr. Brightside's challenging. Mr. Brightside up to Alligator Blood. Cascadian late. Mr. Brightside in front. And Mr. Brightside has won the mile from Cascadian. The Inevitable has a really good buffer. 200 to go. She's 5 lengths in front. Mr. Brightside's chipping away. Pride of Jenny trying to find the reserves at the 100. She's 3 in front of Mr. Brightside. It's all too late. Pride of Jenny has run them into the night. Zaki joined by Animo, who looks destiny in the face at the 150. Animo takes the lead from Zaki. Alligator Blood, I'm Thunderstruck. But it's Animo clear. I'm Thunderstruck late. Dream at the 100 is getting desperate. Now Wicks is storming home. Wicks over the top. Oh, she's too good. They can't beat her. In time I so untold, I'm just another soul for sale. Oh, well.
The beach is out of prayers. We are not. G'day, listeners, and welcome back to the Racing Previews podcast. It is our first podcast since Warrnambool. We decided to have a Thursday night off. Let's be honest, there was never going to be a podcast last Thursday night at the end of Warrnambool. Will, you were still in Japan or maybe just getting back home. And yeah, Nico and I were in recovery mode. But we're back, fellas. It is Goodwood week and the Hollandale Stakes. Nico is outed with injury. No, he has had a little sickness that he needs to take care of. And we've got Stuba in for his annual podcast back on this week. So Stuba, welcome back on. Don't mess this up.
How can I? Hello, my Mexican brethren. How are we?
There are so many ways that you could mess this up.
No, not at all. The most important thing that's going on in the world right now is who's going to be the next Pope.
That's the most important thing.
Yeah.
Not that Adelaide belted us last week.
Nah, your mob's cooked. Who's going to be the next Pope, mate? Going over to the conclave? What? Or?
Don't even know any of them.
I don't know. Can we bet on it?
Yeah, you can. You actually can. It was on the Den today. It was pretty funny.
Well, maybe we need to do a bit of research then. Will, take us through Japan. Keep it PG rated, but how good was it? And what was your sort of some of your favorite things over there?
Oh, well, we went to Hong Kong first, and that was Hong Kong was awesome. We went to the races. Obviously, Mr. Brightside didn't run as well as what we had hoped, but you know, at least he's happy and healthy, and you know, he just got a bit keen, but that's okay. Probably the first bad run he's ever put in. Like you think about all the races Mr. Brightside's ever run. He's never really run a bad race. So he was probably due for one, but just happened that we went halfway around the world to watch him. But no, it was awesome. It was a great experience, and I loved it. And then, yeah, Hong Kong was... We'll leave it at that. And then we'll... Hong Kong was dangerous for...
You survived. That's all that matters.
Oh, barely survived. And then we went to Japan, and then I died. Japan was, yeah, we were there for 10 days or so. And no, Japan was awesome. I can't get over how clean the place is. There's no bins anywhere. There's no fat people. It's just, I don't know. Everything just seems so efficient in every way that they do it. Like it's just like a better society, I guess. I don't know. I love it. I loved it. It was awesome. The food was amazing. I reckon the best meal I ever had was this little Wagyu steak joint just on the side of the road in Osaka, and it was seriously like the best meat you'll ever have in your life. It was so good. Yeah, I would definitely, if you're gonna go anywhere, I'd recommend Japan 100%. It was amazing.
Yeah,
but I got home and I slept for 18 hours straight. Wow. I was in need of sleep.
The liver's copped a beating, but yeah, no doubt. Mate. Japan and Hong Kong are two exceptional places. Hong Kong, like the racing's awesome. The racing in Japan is awesome as well. I didn't get to go over there, but got to experience the full culture in Japan and those few weeks. Wowee. As you said, you had the best meal you've ever had. I reckon I've had my top five meals I've ever had, probably all in Japan as well. Yeah. Stu, how are you doing, mate? You looking forward to going to the races this Saturday and giving us the mounting yard mail at Morpheville?
Yeah, of course. You got SA's best race with Adelaide's best bloke. So, but I was good until we're just chatting on the footy chat, and we've been absolutely crucified with these same game multis. What's going on there? Sidebum's been on the bench for 10 minutes, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, Ned Long as well. I think he's had about 50% game time at the moment. But
oh, what a bruise.
That's what happens. Yeah. That's what happens when Collingwood are on a 5-day break and then they're over in Perth playing the next week.
And half of their players are 35 years old.
Yeah, oh. Fly's probably just being a bit generous to them. But anyway.
Apart from that, bro, I am well. I am good. Same old eat, sleep, work, gym, repeat.
Quick background on you. I know we've had you on before, but you used to work in the racing industry a little bit. You don't get to the races as much these days, but how often would you go now? You probably only go a couple of times a year, and you're going this week.
Goodwood Day. I make sure I go Goodwood Day every year because it is our best race. The Adelaide Cup's pop.
Yeah.
And then if there's anything that interests me or another good horse or, you know, you boys, when you had your horse come over, we won't talk about that, the Graves.
Yeah, let's not talk about that.
Seems ages ago.
Yeah, it does. Well, just because Adelaide's just, I don't know, the horse.
And you've been to the Everest with us once or twice?
Once. I was meant to go the other year.
But we won't talk about that either.
But, yeah, so I try and go at least – I always go Goodwood Day because that is our biggest and best race. I don't care what anyone says. It is. Yeah. And obviously I'm pretty excited because one of my old boyfriends is in town, Giga Kick. But, yeah, and then, yeah, obviously my background is – you boys already know that. I've been on a couple of times now. But, yeah, just been in the racing game for a very long time since I was born, in and out, working in it, working in stables, now punting, shit like that, you know.
Yep. And punters can find your stuff on Wolf Den. You're pretty active on there, and you've been tipping up a few winners, hopefully.
Yeah, the Wolf Den OGs, we're on there, myself, Jay Sham, Jimmy D. We do our stuff through Wolf Den. There's no clowns like Twitter, so it's much more, I don't know, there's just no idiots on there, really. You got, I don't know how many people are on there. 30,000, 40,000. Is that a cheeky jab at me then, bot, really?
I'm sure there's a few idiots.
Yes, that's blatantly a jab at you, mate.
But yeah, like it's, yeah, you know what Twitter's like. But yeah, no, it's good. We just dribble shit about horses and footy. So
that's exactly what we do on this podcast as well. Don't worry, mate.
Yeah, all the Pope. If you want the odds for the Pope, I've got the odds for the Pope off the Den. So
you've been on the pod for 5 minutes and you've brought the Pope and AFL same game multi to the table so far. So
that's
just Stu to a T off Broadway. But let's go to Caulfield. It's where we always start. We start the punting in Melbourne. 21 degrees on Saturday. It looks a clear day, which is great. Rails out 4 metres. Hopefully, track's playing fair. Always Caulfield around the circle all the time. You want to be forward of midfield, but hopefully it's as fair as can be. We start in race one. It's a two-year-old race over the 1,100 metres, and there has been a plethora of scratchings. Brave Design, Green Spaces, and Salty Pearl all come out. Lots of deductions there. Prince Tycoon has been left as the $2.15 favourite on debut from Rose and Jella, $5.50. Latin Boss, $7, a nice last start winner. And Burlington Arcade, $7.50. Stu, here's your time to shine. You're betting up in the first.
Oh, I wouldn't necessarily say I'm betting up, but I'm interested.
Come on, mate. Just take it. I've presented you the new ball, and you've just got to take it now.
No, I'm going to let it go. I don't know many cricket terms, but when they just let it go outside off stump, I'm going to do that.
Are you betting or not?
I am, but I'm not betting with heaps of confidence. So this has been tipped up deluxe by a few people on the Den. So Jimmy D has tipped it, and Junior's tipped it up as well. So I went back and watched its jump out, this Prince Tycoon, and it did jump out like a rocket, and it was in on Wednesday, and it was scratched for Wednesday for this. The only thing I didn't like is in that jump out in one of them, it hung a little bit and it cornered around the turn. Like it had a bit of a weird head carry. Well, that's what it looked like to me anyway. But yeah, it's been smashed with deduction. So I don't know if it's a $2 pop. I was much more interested to bet when it was sort of $354 around that price. But yeah, it seems pretty short now. But look, yeah, it's been tipped up deluxe by those boys. So I'm just sort of coming with. And we'll see how we go. But I don't know. It seems pretty short now. Did you have any thoughts? Did you watch its jump out?
Yeah, I'm betting. I think we'll get better than the $2.15, $2.20 currently on offer. I think they've just got to back some of the race form. And I think we will get $2.40, $2.50 on race day. And I think that's respectable enough to have a bet. I thought the jump outs were really good. I think the map is perfect here from Barrier 2. Is going to hug that rail the whole way and likely land in front. And, of course, a few dangers coming out. You have to take a shorter price. But, yeah, I think it's a good way to start us off. And 1,000 metres, I probably would have been even more confident, but just has to run out that 1,100 metres on debut. And I reckon it's going to go mighty close to winning because I don't think there's a whole lot in the race brigade.
Will? Yeah, the advantage it probably has too is – on Wednesday, it was drawn out like it's like 10, 11. But like you said here, even if it does hang or head carry towards the rail, it's drawn two anyway.
Yeah, it's always an advantage.
I thought Latin Boss was maybe the only danger with Jamie Mott. That bloke is absolutely airborne, J-Mott.
Yep, fair play. Will, are you interested still or not really with these scratchings?
Yeah. I mean, it's a nice horse. I think I'm not interested now. Yep. But, I mean, if it were to get to $3 and or something like that, like Betfair late on the day, just, I don't know. I mean, the race form's awful. Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, it clearly looks good, but, I mean, it's not my typical sort of bet I'd love to have, but, you know, it does look like a nice horse.
All right, let's move on to race two, 2,400 metres benchmark 84. Zuryab was the $2.80 favourite. Comes out of the Warrnambool Cup where he started favourite in that race as well. Ran a gallant third. For now, $3.60. Speaking of Warrnambool, ran second to Affluential, the jumper, last start. Galileus, $5. Golden Crusader goes forward, $10. And Savoir Fair, $10 also. Bot, who have you found here? Because there's a few you can poke holes in.
Yeah, speaking of horses, like last race isn't a race I'd love to play in. This is my sort of race.
Sickening.
I don't like Zuryab. I mean, like the Warrnambool Cup, it's a great race, and they went really really quick there, and on heavy ground. This will be good three, good four, and It'll be a test again, but it's one of those ones you want to oppose. I think it probably starts about 350, maybe even a little bit bigger. I think that they've finally figured Galileus out, and they try to put him out over 3,000 meters and all those that sort of. I just don't think he stays 3,000, and I think this is a sweet spot for him. A mile and a half, he's been put out the back in some 2,000 meter races and run on really well, and is really well weighted here, and looks like he's well placed and should get just about the run of the race in what will be a race that there'll be plenty of pace on in. So it's sickening, but Galileus is one of the it just kept going around the favorite a little bit.
This is such a bot race though, isn't it?
It's such a bot bet. Galileus is a big cat.
he's a massive cat, but it's a good bet. I'm promising you, it's $6 is a great bet.
We're moving into bot territory though, aren't we? The winter staying synthetic fucking just...
We're just warming up. We're warming up to bots good thing. Because just stay on the line, punters. If you're still with us and you're still interested in listening to the rest of this podcast...
Which you shouldn't be. If you're a sane human being, you would not be listening to this. I promise you that.
Will Bot has a big, big declaration in race four. For what it's worth...
You're not betting in this, Ben.
No, probably not. But if I got north of $4 for now, that could potentially get me. The last start rating was actually pretty good. Like, people are going to say, oh, I got beaten by Affluential. But it's still a decent figure. It's two 2,400-meter runs. The last two starts have both been really good. Drops down to 54 kilos. It's probably the one for me if I had to have a bet, but I'm not going to. All right. Let's move on to race four. Put your hands together here, punters, and shake them together because it's a 1,400-meter benchmark 70 for the fillies, and Medea, $3 in from $4.20. That might have been our group chat that did that. Terra Lee, $5.50. Rocking at Midnight, $7. And Storm Season, $9. Will, you have a very big opinion of the Hayes filly.
It's fucking certainty.
Whoa.
I think Medea is a group filly, maybe group one filly, and it'll win this. I think it's $1.80 chance. I mean, like, I've got $1.80.
Cool.
$4.20 down to $3.60 yesterday. Crazy. I had a good crack yesterday. I won't say that. Mum listens. I've had a good go at it, and I'm really keen on it. I think it'll continue to shorten. This Terra Lee, I can't get it anywhere near the price it is. The only horse that can possibly beat it, I think, is Rocking at Midnight with the blinkers going back on. But I think that Medea is just even $3. I'd still take $3. I'd take down to about $2.40. I think it'll probably start about $2.40. I could even see it starting odds on. It's a half sister to Grunt and Zaydani. Both of them are really good horses. I backed Zaydani in a matriarch 1 year. It's a really, really, really good horse, this thing. It made its debut at Pakenham, ran just ridiculous splits, and then went to sale. And it was one of those ones where I was contemplating getting involved at about $1.60. I have a big opinion of this horse, and I just love what it's been able to do thus far. I think it'll put itself prominently on speed, and it's where you want to be on the day. And I think it might win by 3 or 4 lengths. I think it's a really, really nice horse.
We were getting margins as well, Botter.
That's huge.
Yeah, it's a certainty.
The best part was we haven't heard from him for like 3 days in the chat, and then he just
I haven't looked at form, and then he just goes
launch this thing, and we're all like, okay.
Yeah, that's crazy. I haven't even looked at form. I've probably had a bit bigger bet than I would have, but that's all right. That's all right. We go down together, and I probably need
to
rephrase.
We're not going down, mate. It's going to win.
I need to rephrase what I said. I said it was our whole group chat that brought it in from $4.20 to $3, but it sounds like it was just bot alone. So I'll rephrase that. I'm with the horse as well. I thought it was excellent from a long, long way back on debut at Pakenham. Then last start, just absolutely annihilated them at sale by 3.5. I think because that was in maiden grade, you can bonus the rating plenty. And I think she will, you know, burst through the 90 barrier with ease here. And Rocking at Midnight has that one big spike figure at the Valley. I'm starting to wonder if it's ever going to do that again.
Get the blinkers back on. That's the only thing. The only thing.
Yeah, that's the only thing. But I thought it was terribly disappointing last start.
And yeah, I know. I backed it. It was like awful. I was on a plane when it was racing. Was that the plane? Yeah, it was. And I got off the plane. I was like it was like $4 something into $2.50. And I was like, oh, sweet. And it just went backwards.
Yeah, got beaten 4 lengths. So, no
also,
thanks.
I don't know. I don't know what's 1,400 meters for it is a little bit iffy. I think it's a 6 furlong horse.
Yeah.
But yeah.
And that's the other thing that the second favorite still has to answer as well. One on debut, 1,200. Looks a nice horse. And if you get $9, $10. Maybe I could have a saver on Terry Lee, but...
Is this Terry Lee? It'll start $15.
Well, if it starts that price, then I'll probably have something small on as well. But
don't waste your money.
Wowee. Declaration. How good's that, Stu?
Yeah, I know. I just backed it from the group chat. What did I get? I got 380.
380, that'll do.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to race six, 1600-meter, three-year-old race. Mary Eliza, $4.60 from Conchiro, $5.50. Super Nima, $7.50. Narbold, $9. Coco Bill, $12. And Jenny's Meadow, $13. Another really big field here. Will, you found something.
Yeah, Mary Eliza. I love what the market did last start at Mornington. It was heavily backed. It opened about, I think it was about $11, and then first up offered a nice first preparation. Started $5 against Moving Out. Few No Evils. Like that was Mornington Guineas. That's a nice race. It's obviously by Bonneville. So you know, Mum was good. I think the stable might have a good opinion of it. It would never got a crack at them, and you know those sorts of ones can sometimes go around at a price that's probably a little bit shorter, or at least early the market figures it out. But I think this is one that you can just sort of bank on being pretty good, and I think that it'll put itself in a nice enough position. There's a lot of pace on here, so I think it probably just sits sort of slightly forward of midfield. And I think it's a nice filly, and I have no there's no urgency to bet now. I think it's one that I'll probably back on Saturday, but I mean if the price goes, I don't really care. I won't back it. I'm just I'm not fussed. Like if I think 650 says even 550 the day, I just want to wait until Saturday and bet. I don't feel any urgency to bet now.
Yep, I think I'll probably be backing it as well. It was terribly unlucky last start. Just got hung up in traffic and the race just didn't work out. I like what it did at the end of last preparation. And Bot, you speak of by Bonneville or out of the mare Bonneville. Got some mail across my desk earlier today that she could be targeting the Queensland Oaks. So yeah, that's exciting. Took a bit of 50-1 there. She'd want to be winning a race like this to be, you know, thinking that she's going to win a race like that. But yeah, she looks one that's just going to keep on stepping up and trip. And I'm probably going to be with it down on 51 kilos after Luke Cartwright's claim, if you don't mind. So yeah, it looks the one with the most progression in this race. All right, we move on to race eight. It's benchmark 100 over 1400 meters. LOU absolutely flying won its last two starts, $2.80. From War Machine, Look Away, if you backed it last start, $3.80. Lim Sol Toro is $8. Regal Vow, $8.50. Stu's got the thumbs up. And the open is $14. I'll go first. If LOU runs, I'm with it. And I took $3.60. There was an article that came out today, and it was about Scotty Cameron saying they might not run if the track is too bone dry. Both of its wins at Moonee Valley, the last two starts, have been on wet tracks, and it has had plenty of favours. But if it runs here, I just think it's going to get all those favours again. It's drawn barrier one. It's got 53 kilos. It's going to rocket straight to the front, and up to 1,400 metres is no real issue with me. So I am with it if it runs. But if it doesn't, then I'll back the class horse, and that's War Machine, who was a certainty beat last start at Mornington. Closed off the race super, but just got strung up in traffic at a crucial stage behind the instructor. That was in the Hariba Stakes. Up to 1,400 metres is a positive. He's drawn out, but he might just be the best horse in the race. So if LOU is in it, then he's got a good one to run down. If he's not, then, I think this is his race for the taking. It's just got to carry the 58 kilos, but this is a horse I think can go mighty close in a race like the Stradbroke. So if he's going to do that, he needs to be winning this. Stu.
Yeah, I've backed the War Machine. Let's not talk about it. Last start. Should have pissed in. And I'm just following again. Where'd we backed it in? Was it the Rupert Clark or the Golden Eagle or something where it ran super? I can't remember. In futures at like 50s?
Golden Eagle, I reckon.
It's one of Bot's, actually. I remember Bot tipped it in the group, tipped it up deluxe, and it won by like four or five. Yeah.
Yeah, class one at Cranbourne.
Yeah, you backed it off the mat. You're like, this thing will piss in. So we all backed it in the group. So, yeah, I'm just following suit. The draw's cast, but I'm just sticking fat. I didn't know LAU was going to come out potentially, though. So if it does, it'll always, War Machine will be favourite, I'd assume.
Yeah.
The only other one was this Lim Sao Toro. So it's from Singapore. It's had 13 starts and it's had 10 wins. Gate 4, I don't know too much about it, but apparently its jump out was pretty good, or its trial. Yep. It's had a little bit of support, open sort of 14s. It's into 8.59, so I might chop on it, but probably only if LOU comes out.
Yep. Yeah, they're just so hard to line up. These
they're so hard to line up. Like, you look at what Backhill did in Adelaide, like,
when that wins. But that's against far inferior horses.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Yeah. There's two of them in this race. There's that Lim's Ida as well, down the bottom of the page. One horse that's good to see back is Forgot You. Hopefully he has a good preparation. But
I love that horse.
Not a betting proposition in this race, 1,400 metres first up, but... Yeah, hopefully, he's a very good horse. So hopefully, he can get another win on the board this campaign.
Of course, you love that horse, Bot. It's a fucking cat stayer.
It's a miler, mate.
It's not a miler.
First it's ever run is like, oh, I got out to 20. It ran in the Derby, but no, it's like tops. It's best at a mile.
Do you see Allegron still going around too? Speaking of your boys.
Yeah, the Allegron form won the Gallywood or Briley or whatever it's called. One of the two. I always get them mixed up. Which one did it? What did Cunning Fox win?
Won the Gallywood.
Yeah, well, that's Allegron form. Yeah. Allegron belted him.
I won't hear a bad word about Forgot You, because it's the only reason 2023 Melbourne Cup Day that
I... Oh, what a... Yeah, that was a...
Fantastic bet. Yeah. Best bet of the week. All right, race 9, benchmark 84, 1,200 metres, Pivot City 360, O2 Good 650, Winner's Edge 750, Cadigo $8, Prancing Spirit 850. Stu, are you betting here, Pivot City?
Yeah, I am. Yeah, I backed it again last start, should have won too. It was another sick beat.
Oh, God.
You don't reckon?
No, I was agreeing with you.
How did it lose?
I don't know. You got Jamie Mott, who again is absolutely airborne, and it's got gate 3, and it's going to be the get out stakes. But yeah, like, I think it's 380 odd, $4, something like that. Definitely worth a gamble. I didn't think outside of him, I didn't think the field was overly strong. You got that O2 Good, but it's drawn cast. So, yeah, I'm back in Pivot City in last.
Yeah, I'll keep it short and simple. I'm with Pivot City as well. I think the map is nice. From barrier 3, he is now fourth up, peak fitness. He's come back really well ever since being gelded before this preparation. And as you mentioned just then, Stu, some of his main dangers have just drawn cast. O2 Good is a very good horse on his day, but he's drawn 16, so are they really going to be pressing the button and using up, all these stocks first up? Winner's Edge cast in 14. I think if there's a danger, it might be Cadigo. But yeah, I think Pivot City will be too good. And I think he might run a new career peak here. So that's the way he's trending. Hopefully he just gets luck at the right time and he can produce that big turn of foot we know he's got. All right. That is Melbourne wrapped up. Let's get to the city of churches. Are you much of a churchy yourself, Stu?
I should be in the Vatican, mate. You know the answer to that.
Why would you ask?
I'm not a 40-year-old man who believes in an imaginary ferryman floating in the sky.
Oh God.
I've opened up a can of worms. I just wanted to get a reaction.
Give me a spell.
No, from Stu. Tell us what's happening with the weather over there in Adelaide. It seems like, of all the places in Australia, it seems like Adelaide and Perth is always decent weather and dry.
It's actually been announced on the news, in the history of all recording, we've had the driest start to a year ever.
Bang, I knew it.
It's going to be a good four. It's going to be 25 degrees, good track. We've had, I think, we had a showery day, I don't know, three days ago, and we got like 3 or 4 mil. Well, that's it.
Yeah, right.
So it's, yeah, we're in a proper drought. Every day is, there's not a cloud in the sky. It's sunshine. So you're going to be on a good deck. So
yep.
That's, and it's obviously Morpheville. So Morpheville, you usually get your chance.
Yeah. So yeah, it's obviously a soft five right now, but it'll be a good track by the time Saturday comes around. Just for the rail positioning, it's plus 6 meters from the 12 to the winning post and to the remainder.
They must have irrigated it, Benny, because we've honestly had like nothing.
Yeah, right. So maybe they're just getting it.
Sunny as today, sunny again tomorrow, sunny on Saturday. So
yeah, probably just keeping the root structure nice and healthy then with a bit of irrigation.
We'll have to ask Nico that one. He's the grass man.
He is. I don't think he can prepare a track though. Obviously, with this rail positioning, they move it out gradually from meeting to meeting, from week to week. So it's out 6 meters from the 12 to the winning post and to the remainder. But as Stu just quickly alluded to, often Morpheville, you do get your chance. And it has been a great swoopers track in years gone by. We saw Benagil circle them wide, back and wide. And we've seen a couple other horses, Charmstone, come from well back and win the Sangstar. So usually it's pretty fair and fence off. Race 4 is where we start. It's the Centurious Stakes. Hopefully I've said that right. It's 2,000 metres listed race for the fillies and mares. She's a Hustler, $2.15. Seeking Stardom, $4.60. Dashing Duchess, I think scratch from Warrnambool for this, $7. And Episodic, $7.50. Stu, who have you found here?
I'm going with She's a Hustler. I think, was it See What I See in the same race last year that we bet up? Yes. Was that in this race?
Yeah, that sounds right.
It's very similar. Victorian coming over. You know, got the winning form on the board. You've got a gun jockey, Geordie Childs, gate 4. Like, you know, it's just ticking all the boxes. Tick, 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 tick. Horse on the up. And then I'm looking through it. Maybe Seeking Stardom is the only danger to it. But, yeah, I'm just backing in the horse on the up and the Interstate Raider because just seems the quality animal. She's a Hustler. So, I'm keen to be betting on it in that race.
Sweet.
That seems funny. Like, I know it's progressive, but Seeking Stardom was like a head off beating Zlotti's Lady in Pink and On Display. Like, that seems, I don't know, She's a Hustler's progressive, but it won a midweek at Sandown last start. And, you know, Zlotti's is probably a group horse. Lady in Pink is a group winner, I think. And On Display won the Guineas looking like a proper top line filly. So I don't know. That just seems interesting to me that at least 4.8, like 4.80, that, I mean, I do agree She's a Hustler looks a progressive and probably deserves to be maybe favourite, but
is it the Stardom distance query with the filly you're talking about?
Seeking Stardom. I don't know. Yeah. I wouldn't have thought so. Maybe. Could be.
Do you think they should be closer in the market, Botter?
Yeah. Well, it looks like it to me just on the numbers. I haven't looked on the race or anything, but there's probably not much pace on either, is there? It's a small field. They always do this in Adelaide. They always go like a million lengths slower in these 2,000 metre races. I've seen the numbers.
Yeah, interesting. I don't think I'm going to be betting at this stage. Favourite's hard enough to beat, but I'll be spending the majority of my chips elsewhere. Race 6 is the Cumming Stakes, 1,600 metres, Group 3. Shelight is $4.60 off the second to Pride of Jenny. Would you believe it? Aaron Bay, $4.80 from Nonconformist, well supported, $4.80. Regal Asmon, $5.50. Chicago Storm, $7. Well, where are you going here, Stu? Because you've got horses with great form up and running, and then you've got this class horse who's first up. He does sprint well fresh. Who did you lean?
Yeah, Nonconformist, an absolute bet. I took the $5 and then I got even more keen when Fizzer off the Wolf Den, Scotty Fitzsimmons, said it's his best of the day. Again, you look at the horse, you've got the class, its piece of work that it did leading into this was extremely hot. And you've got Geordie Childs again, so you've got a gun jockey. Good map, and I think he won first up last prep in a pretty decent race as well. And, like, yeah, I don't know that he has to beat much here. He is getting a bit long in the tooth, but he's only lightly raced, really, as a 7 or 8-year-old, I think he is. And he's only had 30-odd starts. So Regal Asmon was a pretty big win last start, but I'm not sure the strength of that race. So I'm just backing the class horse. And at $5, I think it's definitely worth a bet. And now that someone like Fitzy is very, very keen, it makes me even more keen. So I'm betting up Nonconformist in that race. Benny?
Yeah, I like where what you're thinking. I reckon this is mostly a two-horse race. I reckon it's between Aaron Bay and Nonconformist. Aaron Bay just has the perfect platform for this fourth up. Good ratings. Obviously ran so well last start at Morpheville. Carried the 62.5 and now gets in with 55.5. So obviously...
7 kilos.
Yeah, 7 kilos. So obviously meets Regal Asmon so much better off at the weights, and they're still quite similar in price. So Aaron Bay will be turning the tables on Regal Asmon, I would have thought. Nonconformist brings great fresh form. First up, last preparation, he ran a fast finishing third behind Buckaroo and Hinged over the mile. That was at Randwick. Look, as you said, his recent jump out was really good as well. So those are my two main ones. Shelight has to be a query coming off that fast run race last week behind Pride of Jenny. Now backs up. That's probably the fastest he's ever gone in a race. In fact, it would be the fastest he's ever gone in a race. So I just don't know. Horses can go one of two ways off a setup like that, and I'd be against him as favourite here. What?
I don't know.
Nothing?
No. You're asking me.
There's a heap of historians over here, mate.
I just saw you looking at your screen like you might have had an opinion.
No, I'm looking at the next race, so I'm half prepared to talk about the race.
All right, the proud mistakes, that is. 1,200 metres, group three for the fillies and mares. Lots of fillies and mares races over in Adelaide, Struber.
Yeah.
You're a bit of a fillies and mares man.
No comment.
Stop it.
No comment, Ben. No comment.
New Look Luster is $4.20 from Cleo Cat. Off the big win at Warrnambool, if you don't mind, $4.20.
Been back to.
Yep. And it was a great win. Bridal Waltz is $5. Gallardo, $7. With Corey Parrish in the saddle, the one-time Caulfield Cup winning jockey. Lovely looking, $13. And See You in Heaven hasn't really returned that well. It was ballooned out to a big price, the class horse, $14. What did you find here, Stu?
Go to Bot first if he's had a look, because I'm about to sneeze.
No, I haven't.
I'm going to mute myself.
What is he doing?
Yeah, to sneeze.
Oh, right. Okay. Jesus. That's awful podcasting.
Did I mute myself or not? Was I on mute?
I think I heard the first one, but not the second one.
Oh, sorry, boys.
Scalata looks interesting over there. Like, he's that's a nice filly. I have a good opinion of. Bridal Waltz won really well at Mornington, had the favours, but it and Thames put 4 lengths on the next horse. It's nice form. I've always had a good opinion of Bridal Waltz. I think I backed in its maiden, I think. Was it at Mornington? Yeah, I did. Elative, it's a nice horse. Cleo Cat bolted in it at Warrnambool, didn't it? Like it raced 3 horses, but it absolutely hammered them. And they're not like decent horses, and that rating's good. And Tom Dabney
carried weight as well.
And it's only ever lost one race, and that was at the end of preparation sort of run. So, she's won 6 of her 6. Like, she's being really well placed by Tom and the team. But what about this Dakota Lee? What is because that comes down off Alice Springs. Didn't that come down and have like half a spruik on it for like the Goodwood last year or something, or the Sangster?
Yeah, and I reckon Stu might be having something small on this horse.
Yeah, I'm back now after my sneezing fit. So was it 3 or 4 years ago there was an Alice Springs horse, Northern Territory, that actually ended up winning the Goodwood? Savatou Excel.
Yeah,
so this thing's coming here with ridiculously good form. Its last win, if you go back and watch it, it was pretty impressive. It didn't win by much, but it sat like 4 deep the entire race.
It's got Alice Springs.
Yeah. Northern Territory horse. Fodder. But it's at 20s, so just have something small on it, punters. Like, it's at 20s.
God.
Savage 2 Excel's proven Northern Territory form stands up in South Australia. That's how good we go. They can come from Alice Springs and Northern Territory and win our Group 1 races. So
that's so mental, is it? Like, how did that horse – that's just mental. How did a horse from Alice Springs win a Group 1 in –
because it's Adelaide Will. This is why
72 XL was actually a decent horse.
I know it was, but it was racing in Alice Springs. How does that even happen?
Because I bet – this is why I bet in Melbourne and Sydney, mate, because Adelaide is pox. Our horses are pox.
We need – Will, we need Dave to go back and go through some of these ratings in Alice Springs and
mate, Dave's got enough things on his plate. He doesn't need to go back and fucking do Alice Springs fucking ratings. I think you can use your brain for half a second and go, nah, let's not use these figures dirt.
The unreviewed ratings are very good.
Yeah, well, let's put two and two together and say those probably aren't right.
Yeah. So look, at $20 and like it's like $5 to place. Just have, instead of buying that coffee or another beer, just have $5 each way on it.
No, I'd rather have a coffee, to be fair, mate.
I'll tell you one thing for sure and certain. You're not getting a beer for $5. Not here in Australia anyway. Maybe over in Hong Kong and Japan.
True.
Yeah.
True. All right. I don't know. The Goodwood. For what it's worth, gee, I wish Cleo Cat drew a bit better. I think she's the best horse in the race going forward. So maybe her and something small on Stu's thing from the Northern Territory. Race 8 is the Goodwood. It's not the Goodwood Handicap anymore, but it used to be. Giga Kick is $2.20 favourite from Reserve Bank, $6. Charmstone, $9.50. Amin is also on the same line of betting. Generosity, $10. Stretton Angel, $14. And then you've got Climbing Star, $17. Just firstly, obviously, this is 1,200 metres, set weights and penalties. They changed the conditions of the race, what was it, maybe 10 years ago? Used to be so here we go, 2007, they changed the conditions. They went from a handicap, traditional handicap, to set weights and penalties. What time, I'm guessing that helped, obviously, horses like Black Caviar come and race in a race like this, because they wouldn't have raced in under handicap conditions. So I think did she win two Goodwoods, Stuba?
She won the Sangster. She won the Goodwood, but I think it was all timing as well. It timed, the way it was structured, it timed perfectly into Royal Ascot.
Yeah. So how it works, punters, obviously everyone's going to see Giga Kick with 54.5 kilos and go, how the hell is Giga Kick getting in on 54.5 kilos? Set weights and penalties conditions, you only get penalized for winning a race, and it's got to be within the last either 18 or 24 months. So he hasn't won a race since the Doomben 10,000 in 2023. That's going back two years ago now. I think he beat Overpass in that race. So he gets in on the minimum.
He beat Bella. Wasn't it Bella? Did he beat Bella up there?
Nah.
Was it Overpass?
Oh, I Wish I Win beat Bella in the Kingston Smith. He beat Overpass 2 years ago.
Right.
I'm sure of it.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Overpass around the second.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if this was weight for age, he'd have 58.5 kilos and the mares would have 56. He'd get 2 kilos more than them. If this was a traditional handicap, he'd have 60-something kilos and he'd be giving these probably, 8-9 kilos more. Actually, even more than that, because he's 116 right now. It'll be even more than that. He wouldn't be in this race. You don't even need to worry about that. But yeah, given this these conditions, he gets in with 54.5 and Charmstone gets 56.5 kilos top weight. So even though she's a mare, she's got to give him 2 kilos. So it sets up very well for him. This is an interesting race because there isn't a whole lot of speed or some of the better horses aren't really speed horses traditionally anyway. So Stu, how did you break this one down? And does Giga Kick just win?
So he's one of my boyfriends. I fell in love with this horse because this is when we went to the Everest and we watched him win the Everest. And then we backed him pretty much every other start after that. And I don't know what's happened his last couple of preps. Obviously, he had his injury. But then the last few times he's been to the races, we've got another good mate, obviously, in your group chat, Benny, and from Wolfden, who does my video with me, the OGs. Johnny boy, Jay Sham, he's got a really good read on this horse, and he's come to the races extremely overweight and in very poor condition. So the entire reason I'm going on Saturday is to see this horse. I'm probably going to get an AVO on me because I'm going to be A-grade stalking Giga Kick as soon as he rocks up.
Wouldn't be the first time.
Definitely not the first time. Definitely not the first time. We won't go there.
Honestly.
So as soon as he rocks up, though, I've got to get my eyes on this thing, and Jay Sham's going to be inundated, and so are you boys, with photos, with videos, because exactly what you just said in the intro to this, on paper, like, how does he lose? His run in the Everest was unbelievable. He's nearly won when Bella got up. I'm not too worried about the wide draw, but you've got MZ, Wade. He's the best horse in the race, like tick, 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 tick. He's lightly raced. He's had his issues. Only had 15 starts. He's going to be getting better. He's only five. Like, I heard on RSN this morning someone said, oh, he's a wet tracker, and it's like, well, he's won four starts from nine on a good track, so you can throw that in the bin. Yeah, it's just if he's in condition, is he wound up enough? Because even last prep, I think he had three or four trials and jump outs leading in, but he didn't get warm until the Everest, which was his third start. So he's a high-pressure beast. He's better when they go, you know, off that. I don't know if he's going to get high-pressure here, but he could just be too good for him. But for me, if I get the green light in the yard, I had a very big bet on him in the Doomben 10,000 and had no savers, and I'll be doing the same on Saturday. But I'll be doing it at the track, hoping for 220 to 250. So that's how I'm playing it. If you follow Benny on Twitter and socials, I'm sure he'll be able to send through some of my photos and videos that
I'll be playing footy.
Oh,
unless you get something there early.
Well, maybe can Nico or Bot or someone do it? I don't know. But Bot can retweet some pictures and videos or something. You guys can make up your own minds. But if I get the green light, we'll be backing him. Right. So that's how I'm playing it.
I'm with Giga Kick as well. He's probably going to be my biggest bet on Saturday, put it that way. I've got results for some others, which I'll get to quickly, but I'll state the case for Giga Kick. First up last preparation, he was coming off 364 days. He was coming off the injury. This time around, he's off 180 days. That's significant. He's had three proper grounding trials. Clayton surely has him fit enough to a mark where he can run to a rating that's good enough to win this race. Mark Zara, he is the king of Group 1 races. Just look back to 2 weeks ago. He won the South Australian Oaks on Benningil. Then he won the Sangster on Charmstone. Two peaches of a ride. So I'm sure he's going to get this perfect again. He's got to carry a half kilo extra Giga Kick because he has put in the submission to ride 55 kilos, so a half kilo over. No problems with that. Barrier 12, just keep him out of trouble. Obviously, he's not going to run to his Everest figure. You can't have him go into that. But even if he runs to, say, 98.5, 99 on the weight for age scale, down on 54.5 kilos, that's got him going to 101.5. So I think that's going to be every bit good enough to win this. Yeah, this is just such a big opportunity, and Clayton should know it. Getting in with this sort of weight scale, he really, really, really should have him fit enough. So I'm with Giga Kick. Two smaller results. I'm having a back Generosity. It's $26. She ran third last start in the Quokka, only beaten just over half a length by Joker's Grin and Headwall. That's good form. Maybe she doesn't have quite the knockout punch to be winning a Group 1, but I just thought that was overs, and it has proven to be in the final fields. So she draws nicely in five. And the other one I've backed at just a massive price, just something small each way. You're probably going to get 60 to 1. Prairie Flower, I just think she's a decent bolter because she always gets back. Usually she gets back too far and she always hits the line well. She gets big weight swings on Charmstone. I think she gets 4 kilo weight swing for a length and a half. And I can see her running a big race. Make sure you include her in your first fours and trifectas. Bot, do you have any thoughts?
Take yourself off mute, Bot.
Take yourself off mute, mate. Come on.
Fuck, how long have
I've only been
doing this
4 years.
I backed Prairie Flower in the Oakley Plate, so
yeah,
right. I don't know. I have a good opinion of her as well. Like she's one of those horses. Like she doesn't win at a turn, but you know, she's 50-1, so she's a nice horse. Gets back a long way, but yeah, nice horse. What's this Generosity Bench? Western Australian horse. It ran third in the Quokka.
Yeah.
Joker's Grin won it. Like, it's probably not the best Quokka ever, but she's well weighted. You know, it could be a spike run and out of nowhere a bit, but she started $90, so there's no market expectation of her. But she, you know, she was beaten half a length to some very good horses, and she's double figures. What's going on there?
I said this in the group chat. Did they not miss the boat here, Benny, with Joker's Grin, giving him another run? He was only sort of third up in the Quokka. Well, I don't know why I didn't bring him over, getting the group one.
I don't know when the set weights nature comes into it, like if the weights could have, if he still could have been penalised after the Quokka or not, because
right.
With the set weights, it's not just, like, obviously the Quokka's not a group one. But it goes on prize money as well. So it's a big prize money race. So he would have copped the full brunt of whatever the maximum penalty was. So he probably would have been carrying 59, 58, 58 and a half, something like that in a race like this, if it took into account that Quokka win. So maybe they just want to put him on ice or something, but yeah.
Would have been elite to have him here too, though. That would have made it another, like.
Yeah, well, he would have been fighting for favoritism, I would have thought.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah. All right, there's a couple there. I agree, but I think Generosity of the fillies and the mares, I reckon she's still not a bad price.
Do we give any hope to Amina?
I was surprised how good she went last time.
Amina?
Yeah, she went real well. I'm worried
probably
about
in
Dan
the inferior ground as well.
Yeah, he's not Dan right. Yendel,
yeah. Dan Yendel was 2 from his last 50. He probably hasn't come back the same jockey since he had that accident, and that's fair enough. They are only human, but Stu had some other thoughts in the group chat that they just need to perform no matter what. They should be professionals.
Yeah. Well, they do. What, do you suck it up and be, I'm too scared to get back on the field after an injury? No. Oh. Give me a spell. It's your chosen sport. It's your chosen profession. Just get back out there.
Get back on the horse. Oh, as the
yeah, literally. Goes. Like, literally, get back on the bloody animal, mate. Like, yeah. Get back in the contest. Dust yourself off. He's like, you watch him though, Ben. Like, we've been speaking about it in your group chat for a bit. He's flopping everything out the gates, just walking him out and then trying to like come around everything, giving his horses no chance of winning.
Yeah. I think that's the worry if you're backing Amina. Taking everything else out of it and just speaking as a punter, he's going at 4% for his last 50. So hopefully you can turn it around. Big Dino or Little Dino.
It's Dino. Tiny. I don't think it's chips and giggy kick or it's nothing.
Yeah. All right. We'll go to Gold Coast. We'll just do the one race at Gold Coast. And then if you want to tip something else, Drew, just let us know and I'll let you tip your Gosford tips as well. But just for time, we'll just do the one race. And that is the Hollandale Stakes. It's a group 2 over 1,800 meters. Buckaroo 340 from Lindemann $5. Antino 7. Alias $7.50, Faulkner Park $8.50, and Bois d'Argent, he was awesome last start, leading, he's $15. So it's a very interesting race. Obviously, this is always a great pointer towards the Doomben Cup. It's a soft 6 at the moment, and it looks like there still might be a little bit more rain on the way. So, Stu, you go first. How are you seeing this race?
Buckaroo wins. Lindemann, I can't have a nonny. He's a nonny, that horse. He's doing my head in. He just does not win when he should win. When that race where we backed him Where was it? I can't remember who it was against. When he came back down in grade, and was when Vorban beat him.
Yeah, Vorban beat him, yeah.
And I was like, we backed him at, I don't know, 270 or something, and he was backed into like $1.70. And then he's been running super against V Sustainers and Dubai Honours and shit like that. But I can't. Like, Buckaroo won a bots again, one of your boyfriend's botter. But he's just a weapon, this horse, on his day, Buckaroo. So I'm just backing the best horse in the race, which I think is Buckaroo.
Yep. I agree. He's drawn out in 12, so we know where he's going. It's not the grand final. Chris Waller, he's going to be in the back half of the field. So you've got to consider that when you're backing him. It might be too little too late. There's good horses up on speed. Alias, Bois d'Argent, Lindemann, they all want to go forward. But I think the big thing in his favour here is not only is he really coming into his own now, third up, Waller has targeted this Queensland preparation, but this soft track really suits him and it might not suit others as much. His soft track figures are really good. He's got a big, big win on a heavy track. He almost beat Via Sestina in a Turnbull. That was fourth up last preparation on a wet Flemington track as well, soft anyway. I just think he'll really start to hit his straps now. This is a horse who should have won a Caulfield Cup, who started favourite in a Melbourne Cup.
God, like, this is how did he not win the Caulfield Cup?
Yeah, he should have pissed in the Caulfield Cup.
Fuck me. Joe!
Still, like, you can make a very strong case this horse is in the top three or four 2,000 metre to 2,400 metres horses in Australia. And I just think he takes a couple runs to get to his top. Whether he's going quite as well as the spring, I'm not sure yet, but... Yeah, I'm keen to be with him, and James McDonald goes on. So that is very, very good. I think it's for the first time J-Mac goes on. So huge scenes.
Is it?
Does Militarize interest anyone else?
How wet is it?
I don't know. He's sort of one. He's off three zeros, but he's sort of one that'll...
Yeah, but the last start zero was one of the better zeros you've ever seen.
Yeah, I know.
Beaten just over a length in a...
He's going well.
If it's super wet, I don't know what it is. If it's super wet, then yes, Militarized.
He's a mutter.
He is a dead set wet track of that horse. Dead set.
The price for Alias was probably too big earlier in the week. I think it was $10 at one stage, but it's been sharpened in now. So $7
first up. That seems short first up, doesn't it?
But he won first up for the, you know, Waterhouse Bot Stable last time, I'm pretty sure. So,
yeah. Antino. No,
that was against like bad horses.
Yeah.
Antino and Shin are a little bit deadly back in Queensland.
It was bad last time, wasn't it? It was pretty bad.
Well, he's got a duck egg next to his name, but he was held up at a key stage. I think there was a fair bit of interference back in the field and he still came home all right. So I think it was inconclusive, that run in the all aged. Still, I don't really love the setup straight to 1800 second up. Going to get back with Buckaroo. Faulkner Park is another one who's very talented, but again, he might be further back than Buckaroo even, and I don't think that's the place you want to be. Maybe everything.
What about Kovalika?
Faulkner Park, I reckon, is the one for the Q22.
What about Kovalika? Can you
no Slovalika? No, had enough.
What about Kovalika?
All right, it's time to move on.
This is sort of a race.
It's time to move on, Stu. Any other bets quickly in the Gold Coast?
I'm backing one of yours, Benny. I'm backing one of your horses who you've backed a few times and tipped up and backed in a few good races. J-Mac, gate four, Emirate, however you say it.
You go with Emirate. Race seven, is it?
It is race number six.
Six, yep.
So you got J-Mac on. Waller is coming off three trials. Last two typical Waller trials out the back doing absolutely nothing. But yeah, I'm just lightly raced. It's gone up there. I think this is going to be winning at about $5 too. I think you just get on.
Is that the one I liked? Yeah,
I like it as well. It's got the big win on a heavy track as well. So if any rain comes, that's no issue at all. I like that Waller's just been patient with it. I could definitely be having something on it. Bizusto is one of the better horses in the race. and he's $16 with Sportsbet. There's deductions to come off that if there are, because obviously emergency's in. 1,200 metres probably short of his best, but the penny really started to drop with him his last couple starts. Ran second to hit a shock in the group one over there, one on the Gold Coast. Probably wants 1,400 metres, but I just thought that was a big price. So I'm Emirate from Bizusto. Next, Stu?
No, that was it. I just had those two, Buckaroo and Emirate in Gold Coast.
All right, sweet. And just give us your quick Gosford set, and then we'll go around the grounds and get into our best bets.
So race 4, number 4, Engine Room. Been following it a little bit because Jay Sham's actually tipped up a couple against it and he's been absolutely smacked by this thing, Engine Room. So race 4, number 4, you're getting $3.40. It's a hot little race, that one, but, yeah, I think just stick fat with Engine Room in that race. And then in race number 9, I think it is. Yeah, race 9, the Takeover Target Stakes. It's a pretty hot race. There's a lot of different angles, but I'm going to have a two-bet play. I'm going to back Parade. Race 9, number 9, Parade. It's got gate 3. If you look at it, if you isolate this horse's form alone purely at the trip, it's had 17 starts, 3 wins, but it's had 11 seconds. So you might argue it doesn't want to find the line, but it does go super. Sydney's pretty wet at the moment and it goes super on wet ground. So back Parade from gate 3. I took 8.50. It's already come into 7s. And then the other one is Warnie. So it's only lightly raced. It was an overseas horse, I'm pretty sure. But it too has some wet ground form and it's sort of $7 or $7.50. So I'm two-bet play there at Gosford.
I don't mind those two. Warnie brings very good ratings for this down on 53 kilos. 1,200 might be short of its best. I don't know if like a horse like Parade Accredited, they might be a little bit too sharp for him. But yeah, it's not
come
a bad price to
fly. Come with. We're getting $8, bro. We're getting $8.
Yeah. Parade's been one of mine as well, but as you said, 11 seconds. He's been unlucky a few times as well. I remember that day when J-Mac wrote him, oh, he should have won by an absolute postcode there at Eagle Farm. Anyway, my only other bet is probably going to be on Sunday. I haven't done the Hong Kong form yet, but it's a Saturday meeting. And we know what we say about Hong Kong meetings on a Saturday. They're usually not as good, and there isn't much feature racing on them. So haven't really delved into Sha Tin yet, but race 8 at Northam on Sunday, number 10, the Boss Lady. Very, very good WA sprinting mare. I thought she might've come over for the Goodwood, but no, she lands here 1300 meters. She's just a consistent rock around that same sort of ratings range. I like the rise in distance. I like barrier 9, middle of the line. This is a big field. And I like that she's third up. I think she's ready to peak here. So she only got beaten just under 2 lengths last start in the Quokka. Before that, she did beat the Quokka winner, Joker's Grin. It was a dead heat, but she got the protest over the line. So she's just such a bomb consistent mare. She's had 18 starts for 10 wins. So yeah, I think if she runs her usual honest race, she'll be going mighty close. And the danger there is probably a horse like Magnificent Andy, but drawn out in 14. Will, anything around the grounds?
No.
Fair enough. All right. Well, we need to get this podcast multi up then. Will, actually, no, we'll go Stu first. We'll let Stu have his best bet, have his moment.
Christ. Do I have to? It'd be Giga Kick, but I want to wait to see him first. Actually, Benny, you can go. That's going to be your biggest result of the day. You go that.
I don't care what I go. I'll make it up.
Can we come back to me?
All right, we'll come back to you. But we know what your best bet is.
Yeah, the 17th, 4th.
Race 4, number 6, Medea. Do you have anything each way or a lay?
The horse that's by Territories in the Medea race. Was it called again? I can't remember what its name is. It's drawn by Mike McKent. It's got none.
The second favourite.
Yeah, it's going to start like 15s. Terra Lee. And I don't really have much each way.
All right.
I don't think. I can't remember.
All right, I'll go Buckaroo. J-Mac, Buckaroo.
Well, do I go gear kick? I think I have to go gear kick. We'll go race eight number, race eight Moorfield, number seven gear kick. If I didn't go Giga Kick, I was going to go race nine, Caulfield, number 10, Pivot City. So those are probably two of my better ones. My best each way, I'll make it in the same race. I really think Prairie Flower can run a great race, and maybe on Bet365 or Betfair, they might give you like a top four, top five market. You might be able to get something out of that. And my best lay... I'm going to make it Zeab, race two at Caulfield. I just don't reckon you'll win this race. I thought he might be a little bit flat off that Warrnambool Cup. That is only a week ago. Comes here, it's got a big weight, 58.5 kilos after the claim, and I think he's better suited at 2,000 metres. So, yep, I'm sticking the knife through him. All right, let's get to a couple of questions before we wrap up. Twitter first, Boom Punting. This got a couple of likes. 100 bots versus a gorilla. Who wins?
What's all this vow of seeing this?
It's like a trend at the moment.
Yeah. I'm backing in bot.
Same. How much have
you
have on
Have you seen that bloke who does the Hawthorn TikToks, the funny ones?
Yeah. I've seen the one.
They did the 100 about. Hawthorn players versus one gorilla.
and the Wizard's like fucking tiny. It's so funny.
CJ the DJ has got his headphones on. It's good gear. Go check it out. I'd back the one gorilla. James says, how far the boss lady on Sunday at Northam? Yeah, I agree. It's one of James's horses. And I think I think Fangirl and the Boss Lady might be 1-2 in the James fan club. Mitch, do's and don'ts for new punters, people attending the bull for the first time.
Don't go. Strip
don't
out.
Don't bet there.
Do not bet.
Don't bet as much as you're betting at, say, the Melbourne Cup Carnival, for one. Do eat. Make sure you get a good
Cheers,
breakfast
mate.
In. You'd be surprised, bot. People go out at night and they go in on an empty stomach and it never ends well.
Yeah, so we just ate lots of dumplings. They have the best dumplings ever.
Yeah, the food truck food at Warrnambool is some of the best food you'll ever have.
It's unbelievable.
So make sure you get some good tucker in, get some good sleep in, go with a good bunch of mates, just enjoy yourself. Don't go in expecting to win. And don't do this. This is one lay bin that I've just thought of again at Warrnambool. The amount of men you see go into the toilets and they come out and they do not wash their hands. Wash your hands, you grubby, dirty bastards. It's shocking. Not like it's one thing I notice. Like, you know, go in the toilet, take a piss, go to the sink, wash your hands. 95% of the blokes go in and they come out and they do not wash their hands. It's gross. Don, what SP for Giga Kick in the Goodwood? At this stage, I can't even tell if the $2.30 about is value or not.
I would just wait. Honestly, I would. They've got a pretty good read on this horse, the big movers, and if he is out of condition, he'll drift. Kingsley reckons he'll drift.
I took an early price. I regret it slightly, but because I'm betting such tight profit margins, because I'm backing other horses in the race, especially with my subscription service, the 6-day, I just couldn't afford for this horse to be crunched into $1.90 and lose that price. So that's the reason why I took it. But if you're not on yet, you probably can wait and just see, as Stu said.
You had a top up today, though, didn't you? You took some 240.
Yeah, I took a little bit of 240 and just topped up. Yeah. Obviously, that's on Bet365, so I can cash it out as well.
The big players, you'll know if he's ready to go because he'll get smacked. I reckon he'll jump. If he's wound up ready and they're happy with how he's looking pre-parade in the last 5 minutes, I reckon he'll get truckloaded.
Yeah. So, if you want to do that and risk losing the $2.30 and you might have to take $2.10 or $2.05, then you know, it is what it is, I guess.
Yeah.
Dan Hovat, how many lengths Prince Tycoon?
Like it.
I reckon he'll win by two.
One and a half. Just, can we just win him by a nose? Like a lip will do? Just get it over the line.
Yeah, well, I agree, but we're asked a question. We've got to try and answer it to the best of our ability. All right, a couple of Instagram questions now. Damon Winley, inform me how the sun rising tomorrow and gear kick winning have the same probability. That's something that Nick would have said if he was on. Speaking of Nick, I will just quickly read out his two tips.
Two morals.
I wasn't going to read him because I was going to be like, you know, stuff him. He nah, can't even make it. Race four, She's a Hustler, and race eight, Giga Kick. Are they both at Morpheville? Yeah.
Moral, he said. Morals, both of them.
Jack Jeno, pride of Jenny's chances in the Doomin Cup. I reckon she's a 10-1. I reckon she's a 10-1 chance in the Doomin Cup, and I'll be against her. What?
Pride of Jenny?
Over 2,000? Spell me, bot.
Mate, she won a Queen Elizabeth over 2,000 metres.
Nah, yeah, right. Come on.
She was good last start. I still don't think she's the Pride of Jenny of old, like of last season right now. And I just reckon, in the Group 1 races, I reckon they've worked her out a little bit. I reckon Bois d'Argent is going to drive her mad on speed, and that'll set it up for Buckaroo.
Maybe.
Alec Martin, the Prince Tycoon in the first at Caulfield looks a very good thing. Any thoughts?
Everyone's
keen. Maybe that's why this thing is so short. Everyone just.
Yeah.
I reckon she'll get back out, surely. He'll get back out.
Is it a cult?
I think so. Maybe look that up. Question for Stu, says Max Mini. Three best looking guys in racing.
Who are they?
Yeah.
Me. Ben. Please. Ben is extremely good looking. And then who's the third best looking guy in racing? Benny Ascari's all right on the eye, and so is Jules Valance.
What are Benny we doing? Ascari. Can I go to bed, please? Can we turn this off? I want to go to bed. I'm tired.
Shut up. This is important stuff.
Salton's good looking.
Salton's a good looking bloke.
Benny Ascari's good looking. Rooster.
Jack Turnbull.
Jules has too much fucking tan on.
Jack Turnbull's a good looking bloke. Assistant trainer for Kieran. All right, that'll do. Stu, you've put in like four questions. This is ridiculous. Stu, good to have
you're
you
on the podcast, mate.
Podcast.
Why are you asking questions?
Hang on, who's asking this question?
This is Stu asking Stu.
Yes.
Is it true that you got Kaying Rising added to the Everest? You just want to pump your own tyres here?
Yeah, I did actually. $15 and $11 and $375 a face. Thanks for coming.
Well done.
Everyone in racing previews in 6 days better be there and buy me beers.
All right. Stu, have you got any future tips for Royal Ascot?
Yes. I sent them to you and we've backed them. How the hell did they open Satono Reeve at $12?
Yep.
Who's won a Group 1 in Japan and then run second to Kaying Rising. It's a good horse, that thing. And also Lazat, they opened $8.50. And they had Storm Boy favourite over Lazat and Satono Reeve. Ridiculous. Yeah.
So that's in the Diamond, or it's not called the Diamond Jubilee.
Yeah, no, what's it called? The Queen Jubilee, I think.
Yeah, it changes with the, you know, the royal family, whatever. I can't
get Queen Elizabeth II Jubilee Stakes.
Yeah, it's the Diamond Jubilee in my mind. I've always called it that. Stu, why are you so handsome, and what's your favourite thing about Reenie?
Wolf's face. The double Ds.
All right. And Will, what's your local flavor like? What was the local flavor like in Japan? Yummy like the videos or nah?
Kind of bed.
Just answer the question, mate.
I don't know.
All right, move on. Nathan says, Stu, thoughts on Kaying Rising? Love, Lindy.
No good. Yeah, no good. 200-1. Can't win.
When Kaying Rising wins the Everest, will you get a tattoo of him? And where on your body will it be? I think this is a good idea.
I actually agree. And yes.
Say it now.
I will get a tattoo.
Look at the camera and say, I will vow to get a tattoo of Kaying Rising if he wins
the Everest. I will vow to get a tattoo of Kaying Rising on my ass.
Bang. There it is.
There you go.
Nathan Deepgrond. Reckon that Pride of Jenny has some upside. Surely too good for the handicaps. Yeah, it was a good win in enlisted company last start. I reckon she can make the grade.
It's a nice one.
And Coops, everyone's just got three to close us out. Ben, what's the NBA same game multis going since it's now playoffs? Not great, because there's been lots of blowouts. Oh, there's been a few close games, but far out. I had Aaron Gordon for 15 points there, and obviously on tab he only needs to hit 14. He's on 10 at half time, and they brought him off and benched him for the rest of the game because they were down by 40. So that's the bad thing about NBA same game multis. But did you win big in Hong Kong?
Didn't have a bet.
Didn't have a bet. And debate, what is the better between the Bull or Hong Kong? Bot Honkers, Nico Bull, Ben either. Hong Kong has panels on the Bull. As good as the Bull is. It's a fun time, but yeah, Hong Kong all day. All right, we've skinnied up and gone a little bit faster there in the back end. Hopefully we've made time all right. Stu, thanks very much for coming on again, mate.
No worries. Anytime, boys. You know I love you. My annual once a year potty.
Yeah, no more, no less, or else
or else followers and listeners go plummet. They go
or else
down.
Bad things would happen. But yeah, we let him come on Goodwood Week, and he'll be getting to the races on Saturday. So good luck,
mate. Pray Giga Kick.
Good luck to Giga Kick. Pray for Giga Kick and pray for Bots Mozza. Race 4.
Why are they praying? It's going to win. So
number 6.
How do you even say Madea. It? Medea?
It doesn't matter how you say it. Medea. It'll win.
Anyway, she's a daughter of Super Seth, and she's going to come over the top of them and win like the good horse did. Thanks, punters. We'll see you back here next week.
Catch you, boys.